Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Group Answers. So glad that you're joining us today. My name is Chris Surratt, and I'm alongside my partner here, Brian Daniel.
Back together.
Back together, and today it's just the two of us.
Man, it feels empty in here.
Yeah, I don't know if that's good that we feel like we can carry a whole episode, or bad that no one else wanted to join us.
We're dropping like flies, Chris.
I know. We normally have Brandon, common spelling, Hiltabeidl, or Michael, the boss, Kelly. But neither one of them wanted to step in on this, which is interesting to me because what we're doing today is we're doing a power ranking, which is Brandon Hiltabeidl's baby. He loves this, lives for it, but we felt like, you know, maybe it's absorbing him a little too much and he needs a break from a power ranking.
Yeah, in literature terms, I think they call it a caesura, which is a dramatic pause.
Yes.
To kind of catch your breath. You're familiar with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
that's one of those things that you get like in sixth grade and you never use again, but you're just hoping.
I have not used that term since college.
Yeah, so you got it in college. Yeah. I don't even think I got it there.
Thanks for bringing that out again.
Yeah, well, you know, it's what we do here. Group Answers Co.
But so Brandon's not with us, but we're going to go for this. We're going to do a power ranking on leadership books, and we're going to take a little bit of a different twist.
Oh
with
boy,
this.
Did we ever?
Yes. So. Not just leadership books, but we wanted to pick books that feel like would apply to a small group leader or even a church, you know, staff person that oversees small groups, but really apply to what we do as small group leaders. Because there's a lot of great business leadership books, and I've read them, a lot of them, but it's a little hard to apply, you know, making more profit and stuff like that to small groups. But I feel like the books that we're going to have, and what's also interesting is we're doing a top five, none of ours cross.
Yeah, we had in the larger list of 10, I think there were two that may have overlapped, or in the top five, no, there were not any. So it's 10 books, and the approaches are quite a bit different. I tended to take more of a very macro approach to leadership, which that's just kind of where, I don't know about everyone out there, of course, but that's just where I am in life. I think at some point, Chris, my personal bent is that you can extract leadership lessons from a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't really have to be a book about leadership, even though a book about leaders or someone that has led something, I think it's extremely helpful in this context.
Yeah, a couple of mine aren't really directly leadership books, but right. I think they do affect leadership. Let me ask you this. Do you enjoy reading leadership books? Is that something that you just love to do?
Well, it's kind of a trick question because I enjoy any good book. So I guess I would say no. If it's just because it's about leadership, I don't know that I would say that I would enjoy that. But like, I do enjoy leadership books.
Like Five Keys to Being a Great Leader that wouldn't jump
depends.
Off the shelf for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, well, I've got one of those on my list. That's the Leadership Code, which is five rules. So you know, so if it's like very applicable and very practical, like something that I can read and then put into practice like the next day, yeah, I'll read that.
Yeah.
Not if it's 600 pages, but.
Yeah. I go through seasons. So I'll go through a season of reading where I want to just digest leadership books. You know, I'm just looking for leadership books and it's all that I read for a while. And then I get kind of burned out on them. And so I'll go through another season of a different genre of book. So I've gone through, you know, kind of in and out of leadership books, but I think you're right. You can get leadership principles from pretty much anything you read.
Well, and that you'll see that in my list, but do you think that you can also get, man, I feel like I've got to be real careful because I don't want to come off as being anti-books in any way because they're really helpful. But what I want to ask is, do you think it's possible to get a little warped from too much reading in the same subject? And I mean by that is that you to some degree lose the capacity to create your own case study because you're so wrapped up in others.
Yeah, I think you definitely do. You tend to kind of go to the books that you're more comfortable with, and that can be the only thing that you think about. There's another podcast here that just does books. You should listen to that. I think I can't remember the name of it right off the top of my head, but they talk about this a lot, but I think
Dave
you need
Schroeder,
to.
Dave Schroeder, right? Dave.
Yep, Dave, Dave and Aaron Armstrong, and I think Barnabas Piper does that one. But I think you should expand your reading even into topics and subjects that you don't necessarily agree with. I do that occasionally, but it is difficult. One of the places that I have not read enough is fiction. I have a tendency to think fiction is a waste of my reading time. So if I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read, I want to read something that is going to apply to my life, a leadership book or a spiritual book or something like that. And if I'm reading something that I'm actually enjoying, then maybe I'm wasting my time. But, you know, studies show that when you read fiction, it actually expands your mind, expands your vocabulary, expands how you think. And so I'm trying to get more of that into my reading reading diet. One of the things that I've added that's helped with that is Audible books. Hmm. So I started an Audible account about a year ago, and a lot of the Audible books that I get are more fiction, more of that type. And so I listen to them at the gym and on drives, and that's helped kind of expand my reading.
Chris Surratt, there was a season in my life where I would have contended that fiction is more true than nonfiction. And what I mean by that is it's written by people, and it's even though it's about fictitious people or humans, it's still addressing the human condition, if you will, but in a way that is purely rooted in and grounded in humanity. And I always felt like that there were truths that the author was able to convey and was trying to articulate that nonfiction isn't always able to get to because of its inherent limitations.
I think that's good.
I mean, it's just an interesting way of looking at it. I don't know that that's not a sword I'm gonna fall on, but it's interesting that you would or the research or what you've read would say that fiction is expansive in that way. I would agree with that, but it's, man, you know, I can get through bad nonfiction. It's tough to get through bad fiction.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all about the choice.
Yep.
And I'm picky about the reading list. I don't know about you, but
I don't
offer a lot of advice or counsel and don't ask for a lot because it's kind of a OCD. The reading list is kind of an OCD thing for me.
Yeah, if I'm going to read fiction, it's got to be really, really good. I think my next book is going to be the novel you're writing. So if you could hurry up and finish that. Are you on chapter three
I've
now?
I've got four chapters written. I've actually got about 50,000 words written, but I'm going back now and kind of organizing it better. And gosh, I tell you what's hard is at the end of the day, you know, after we've put in the time here, is trying to get that emotional fervor back up to create like that. That's tough.
I can't imagine, for those of you who are fiction writers, I've written two books now, both of them nonfiction, and I just can't imagine writing a fictional book. Just wrapping my mind around that many words, that many pages, and kind of following a story through, that's a whole nother podcast. But
yeah. But we are readers, and we advocate reading, and I would advocate reading in any way, like Brandon Common Spelling Hildebeidel. I don't think he would mind us sharing that he likes the fantasy fiction.
Well, we've talked about that sci-fi
sort of thing.
Kind of stuff.
So I just think it's a good mental exercise. Well, it is a good mental exercise.
It is. Eric Geiger, who used to be here at Lifeway, he used to say that you become what you read and who you hang out with.
That's good.
So, you know, as you read, it's obviously influencing how you think, how you act, and then also the people that are around you also do that.
Well, that's as good as transition as any. So on today's show, we're going to be power ranking, not force ranking, mind you, leadership books. So, and I think this comes with the caveat that I think what you'll find on this list of 10 is that they're not necessarily categorically leadership, that if you went to the bookstore or the library, not all of these would show up there, even though I think some of them would. And that's just the way we roll here.
we're
breaking molds all over the place.
Yes. And if you want to get a list of these, I'll put them in the show notes so you can check them out. But all right, let's kick this off. Number five, what did you have, Brian Daniel, as your fifth most important leadership book?
Okay, at the risk of ridicule and laughter, I will exhale, and I will say that number five for me was a book that I read several years ago by Stephen Ambrose, the acclaimed award-winning historian, about the Lewis and Clark expedition from right around the turn of the century, and the name of it is Undaunted Courage. And most of us are going to be familiar with this, but I saw a question that someone asked about which was the most difficult enterprise, the first lunar landing or the Lewis and Clark expedition. And I realized I didn't know a lot about either. And one of the guys that we work with, one of the authors that I work with, had recommended Undaunted Courage, so I picked it up. Where I think this has application is you've got two guys, they had to plan for something by themselves with the help of the White House, which at the time was Thomas Jefferson, for this four-year expedition into the interior of the United States about which we knew nothing. There was not even a map. And the leadership exercises have a lot to do with how you manage things when you're cut off and out on your own. And all you've got to work with is what you brought with you. And while this is admittedly a bit of a stretch when it comes to group leadership, I can't honestly have a list of leadership books without including this. And I think where it does apply to group leadership is once that group starts, Chris, you are on your own. You are Lewis and Clark on their keelboat going down the Mississippi River, and you can't use a lifeline. You can't call a friend. You cannot push pause and go get one of the books that Chris has written. You are on your own. And so it's not the most ready-made, like a couple of books later in my list, but I would recommend this. And it's just good storytelling, and it's great. It's just a good book. Ambrose is a good storyteller.
I'm putting that on my list. I can't believe I haven't read it because I'm a big fan of Lewis and Clark. And growing up in St. Louis.
I bet.
Yeah. We used to go. There's a museum underneath the arch. And it's all about Lewis and Clark and kind of following their journey. And so big fan of that. So I'm going to pick that up. Which one? Was it Lewis that got shot in the back not far here from Nashville?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. It was probably in the book. I just don't remember. But Meriwether Lewis did die on the Natchez Trace not far from
here. Yeah, it was him. Mm-hmm. And
destitute.
Yep, supposedly he was shot in the back by one of his guys, which is another leadership lesson that sometimes you'll get turned on and get shot in the back. Hopefully not realistically, but yeah. All right, so my number five was – I went for a classic – this is one that I read years and years ago, and it really influenced me. It's called Developing the Leader Within You by John Maxwell. I think John Maxwell has written 562 leadership books.
Nary an unpublished thought, that
oh,
one.
Oh, my goodness. And what I love about John Maxwell is you'll read his book, and he will quote himself in the book. Now, when you get to the point where you can quote yourself, you have made it, my friend. And when it comes to leadership, the man's the master, and he did it. But I looked this up. There's actually more than 1 million copies sold now of Developing the Leader Within You. There's a 2.0 now, if you want to check that out. But this is the idea of leadership is influence came from this book for me. He really talks about that. I know Andy Stanley has kind of taken that idea to another level, but leadership is influence. And that's what we do as small group leaders. We are influencing the people in our small group. Whether you feel really like you're leading them or not, you are, because you're shepherding them. And so you are influencing them. And that's what leadership ultimately is about. Nothing like Maxwell says, nothing less, nothing more. It's about influence. So developing the leader within you was
that
my
is
number
such
five.
A good point about influence. I think we forget sometimes, way too often, leadership is rolled up into a position or in a designation. When we where you hear things like everyone's a leader, and that's true, but sometimes that's hard to believe. When you position it like you just did, Chris, with that influence, that's where the leadership that you're talking about does come into play.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so what do you have for number four?
Number four, I went more traditional with Patrick Lencioni's The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team.
That's a staple.
Absence of trust, fear of conflict, lack of commitment, avoidance of accountability, and inattention to results. The book itself is called a fable if you read reviews, but he uses case studies and situations to espouse these dysfunctions and land at good conclusions. And I think any time that you're in group leadership, be it on a Sunday morning on-campus group or some other time during the week in an off-campus group, you should be able to, or I think you can relate to these dysfunctions that he talks about there. And Lencioni is just a really easy-to-read author, and this is one of those Chris, isn't this one of those smaller books that's just real manageable? And you could even read it as a group, or if you had like a a core team or a D group, this would be really good too, because a lot of times that can, the lessons here can be applied into in other areas of life.
Yeah, that book was on my top 10 and definitely could have been in my top 5. We read it together as a staff at one of my churches, and actually they have material, almost like small group material that you can go through alongside the book and videos. And we did that as a part of a staff retreat. So we went through the videos, went through the material, and it's great. It's great for a team. It's also great for an individual. But yeah, really, really good book.
What Lencioni does so well is when you read one of his books, you find yourself getting lessons about whatever the given topic is, but they're also, it's really just life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And easy to read, like you said. My number 4 is not necessarily a leadership book, but it really kind of affected how I lead. It's called Quiet by Susan Cain. And it influenced my first book, Small Groups for the Rest of Us. I read Quiet, and it explained who I was and who a lot of the people that I lead. So it's about being an introvert and how introverts function and how they lead, and also how you can lead other introverts. And so I've always felt, especially kind of in the small group world, that I'm an outlier, because when you think small group world, you think extrovert, you know, you're meeting with people, it's community. So how does that fit with being an introvert? And this book really laid it out very well for me. Now it's more of a business look at it, but it's very easy. If you want the small group version, read my book. I ripped off a lot of her ideas. But yeah, if you're an introvert leader, or you lead introverts, which there's a big chance you do, because there's actually more, statistically more introverts than there are extroverts. So you're probably leading one. Pick up that book, and it's going to help you understand who they are, how they function, and how they learn.
Looking at the list of 10, this is the one that I would recommend, just based on what I know. Out of the 10, this is the one that I would probably recommend mostly. I have not read it, but just based on your description and some of our pre-show.
It's great. All right, number 3.
Number 3 for me, also kind of apart from the traditional understanding of leadership, is A Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin. This is, like several on my list, not written as a leadership book. A Team of Rivals is an exhaustive undertaking of Lincoln's presidency. And Chris, you've read this one, right?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
There is the slight chance that this may be revisionist history, but I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't make it any less applicable, more to the point what I said about fiction. According to the author, Lincoln put rivalries aside and built a leadership team based on what everyone brought to the team, as opposed to any political alignment, and then manage what is perhaps the greatest crisis in American history with an extremely personal touch. And I think in terms of just what a leader embodies or could possibly aspire to embody, you can do no worse than this book.
Yeah, I highly, highly recommend it. If you saw the movie Lincoln a few years ago, this was the source material for that movie.
Source material, but that focused more on the biopic of Lincoln and just maybe the pathway to emancipation. The book itself really is more about leadership. And now he brought in the vice president. Oh, gosh, you put me on the spot. Seward, right, was the vice president. Well, Seward was, I think his name's Henry Seward, was expected to win that election.
And Johnson was the
president. Second term. Seward stepped away. I think Johnson was second term.
Okay.
But anyway, Seward was expected to win that presidency, and he was bitter and could not believe it when the president-elect asked him to be the vice president.
That's right. Good stuff. Yeah, highly recommend. My number 3 is Start With Why by Simon Sinek. If you have not read any of Simon Sinek's stuff, you really should. And if you don't want to read the book, go and find his TED Talk for this. This is kind of what put him on the map.
Go ahead. Is this The Circle?
This is, yeah.
Why? Oh, yeah. Why, what, how?
Yep. This was actually a TEDx talk. If you're familiar with TED Talks, there's kind of the big platform, big ones, which are TED Talks. And then communities kind of do their own TEDx talks. And so this wasn't even on the map. It was a TEDx talk. If you watch it, it's not even great quality. If you go to YouTube, it's just okay. In fact, his mic dies in the middle of it, and they have to hand him another mic. But it blew up. It went viral, millions and millions of views. But the whole idea behind it and the book is it's the why before the what. So people are not going to buy into the what until they understand the why. And he uses some companies as examples. He uses Apple and how they're able to really kind of sell you a lifestyle with their products before they even tell you what the product will do. And he runs through a lot of examples like that. And, you know, for me, it applies to how do we, you know, get people to buy into community, buy into discipleship. It's not giving them the what first. It's giving them the why. Why do you need to grow? And why is it important to be in community? And let me give you how you can do that, you know, through my small group or through our small group system. So when you're thinking about getting people to buy into the idea of discipleship, community, groups, think why before the what.
Even more practically, I think, and we've talked about it on the show, one of the mistakes that I have made personally in launching groups is focusing too much on the what, which would include this is the study that we're doing, which is important. We've talked about that too. Yep. So when and where, all things are important. But if you don't get that why right, then you're missing the motivator or what should be the motivator.
Yep. Ultimately, that's going to what is going to get them there and keep them there.
Simon Sinek. And most people have probably seen that YouTube clip. But if you haven't, you need to look that up because it's great. All right. Coming down to number two, a more traditional leadership book is called The Leadership Code. Co-authors Dave Ulrich, Norm Smallwood, and Kate Sweetman. I like this book because it's easy to read, succinct, ready-made to put into practice, and something you can go back to over and over. The five rules of the leadership code are shape the future, make things happen, engage today's talent, capital developer, and build the next generation. And and the fifth one is personal proficiency, which is invest in yourself. And so it's just a very good hands-on. I had it ranked high because of the reasons I've already given, and I referenced it earlier in the show, but this is something that I think anybody in any leadership, regardless of what it is, ought to pick up. And it does have a spiritual overlay to it.
That is one I was not familiar with at all, so I'm going to have to pick that up. I love the idea of the five rules. I'm actually reading a book right now called The 12 Rules of Life, which has been really good so far.
Somebody needs to land on how many rules for life there are.
Yeah, it's somewhere between 5 and 12.
Than 5, no more than 12.
It's that one's less of a leadership book and just more of a be a better person book, but it's really good. I highly recommend it. My number two, it's kind of a personal one because it changed a lot about me personally. It's called Essentialism by Greg McEwen.
That's a great title.
Yeah, it's a really good book, and it's basically what it sounds like. Less is more. How having more stuff, more ideas, everything just overwhelms you. So it's kind of getting through the clutter, getting out what doesn't need to be there. The way that he says it is do the right thing, things which are necessary in a right matter and at the right time. So, you know, when I think about this, it's my schedule and doing community and doing a small group. And how do I cram in one more thing when I've got so many other things going on in our life? So when we were thinking about leading a new group, we were like, can we really fit this in? Well, it goes down to doing the right things which are necessary. This group, I knew it was necessary in a right manner and at the right time. And so that helped us start this small group.
So is this something that you've read recently?
Actually, no, it was a few years ago.
So,
yeah, it's stuck with me.
On your list, what's the most recent one that you read? Because it wasn't Quiet, because you would have read that several years ago as well.
You know, all of these actually have been around for a while, which is probably why I ranked them five.
They're Surratt canon.
Top five, yeah. I returned to a lot of them. I would say the most recent one would be Essentialism, even though it was probably about 4 years ago.
Did they reference William of Ockham in Essentialism? Did the author, does that ring a bell?
It does not. But
are you familiar with the term Occam's razor?
Yes.
So essentially it sounds like that's the value that book is propping up.
Probably.
I'll which is cut back. Away all the things that are superfluous to the problem to get what the real question or the real challenge is.
Yep. It kind of goes along with the theme, too, of the decluttering. I know there's a show on Netflix that's very popular. My wife read the book. It's the same idea with stuff, but this one deals more with your life.
Dude, why is that so hard?
I don't know. Because we want to hold on to stuff.
Yeah, I think that's right.
We get it. We want to keep it. All right.
But it does help. honestly, to read a book about those things to help kind of reorient where we are and what we're trying to do. I think sometimes we just it's not like we forget where we're going. We just make it not as important as it should be. Kind of like Michael was saying in a recent episode about the gospel being center. Yeah. That it's just easy kind of to get away from that.
Yep.
All right. Number at number one?
Here it is.
Okay, I went more traditional with this one, and it probably falls more into the category of business book on the marketing side, but it's still, to date, one of the 10 to 15 best books I think I've read, and the name of it is Winning the Story Wars, and it's by Jonah Sachs, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this because it's the title says it all, but if I could boil this down into a sentence, what Jonah Sachs, and I think he's got a co-author, what they are promoting here is that we need to know our story. They're writing specifically to like business leaders, but it applies to you personally and certainly as a group leader. You need to know why you are doing what you're doing and where you ultimately want it to go and what the voice is and some of the other aspects of moving where you are to where you want to be. And I would say the first part of this, he gets into some case studies, and then the second half is very applicable, and he gives us some very good terminology that you can use. And this would not be something that you could do as a group, but this would be something that you could read. And for those of you out there that are like small group pastors or educators, leading a team in any way, this is one of the must reads, and it's my number one. Chris, you've read this, right?
I have. I read it when I first came on at Lifeway. It was one of the required readings, and I refer it all the time. It's a great book. It's not the cheapest book, actually. Look, yeah, I was surprised at how expensive it was because I recommend it a lot. But if you are creating any kind of brand, if you are selling anything, if you are convincing people of anything, you know, church, business, you need to start with this book. It's a really, really good book. And it's another pretty easy to read because they do a lot of case studies. It's fun to read about the different companies and how they did it and shouldn't have done it. And yeah, great, great book. Good pick. My number one is, again, another personal one, but and I do a teaching based on the principles from this book anytime I do a small group leader training, but it's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
Yeah, really good.
It got by a pastor named Peter Scazzaro, and he's got an updated one, too, specifically for church staff that you should read together, but it helped bring me out of some depression and burnout that I've talked about on here, just kind of following the signs of burnout. In it, he lists several signs that you're headed toward burnout, and the first time I read it, I was like, check, 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 check. No wonder I'm burned out. But then he doesn't just leave you there, but he gives you kind of practices and their spiritual disciplines. He calls it the rule of life, with the rule being the trellis, the idea of the trellis of growing a plant straight up and going the right direction. So he gives that as kind of the way that you can work out of depression and burnout. And it's not a cure-all. So if you're, you know, in depression, clinical depression, you pick up this book, you know, I still recommend that you go see a doctor in therapy and all of that. But it was great for me. And I recommend it for really any leader, any person who could possibly head toward burnout at some point, which is all of us.
Yeah, I've read this one, and I think it should be on everyone's shelves. I think where this book really hits a nice chord. The word that I would use is integration. There's a counseling bit. There's an application bent. There is a biblical bent. And then there's just what Chris was just describing is just a life situation aspect to it. And those are not easy things to manage. But the author here, Peter Scazzaro, has done an excellent job with he and his team on making something that you can read and it does exactly what it says it's going to do. And if every book did that, the world would be a better place. That's not easily accomplished, particularly in a context like this.
No, it's not. And it was written several years ago, and I still refer to it about every year.
Well,
bring it out.
I think entire ministries, if I'm not mistaken, are built on some of his work.
They are. They are, yeah.
Particularly group ministries. So, yeah, that's a good number one. And I think we would love to hear from you guys when this post on the thread. So some of the ones that didn't make it, Chris, you and I both had Creativity Inc. by Ed Catmull on our list.
Great book. Fun book. If you like Toy Story, read that book.
He's kind of, was he founder of Pixar? Co-founder?
He was a co-founder, yeah.
Certainly a ground floor type. And what I liked about that was just not forgetting that we're creative people.
Yep, and just the way they go through their creative process, amazing, yeah.
I had a book by Andy Crouch called Strong and Weak that I would recommend. It didn't make my top five, but that would also be a good one. And Founding Brothers by Joseph Ellis, outside of the traditional leadership category, I would recommend. Just, it's a, you know, Chris, you're a historian as well, but just the framers of the Constitution and that generation and how they manage their problems, there's just so much to be gleaned from those guys.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of Group Answers. If you want to see the top 10 books from Brian and I will put those in the show notes. So check those out at lifeway.com/groups. You can go to the podcast. Also, we'd love for you to subscribe to Group Answers if you have not done that. And please rate us. That helps get it out there for more people to see. All right, so for Brian Daniel, this is Chris Surratt. We will see you next time.